Hey everyone, welcome back to the Manufacturing Stream Podcast. 2024, Season 2, with my buddy across the table here, Phil Anderson.
Hey man, good to be back.
It is good to be back.
I'm looking forward to this year. This is going to be a killer year. We've got so much to talk about. There's so much out there that's super interesting, industry changing things that are going on.
You know, it's changing, I mean, so fast. It's amazing how fast manufacturing is changing right now.
I mean, it's funny, you look at technology changes so fast, and you really got to stay on it.
Yeah.
You know, the nice thing about what we do is, you know, we kind of keep our finger on the pulse of all that stuff. We get to see it and get a better understanding of it, and then see how are we going to make this apply?
Well, and then talk to everybody here on the podcast about it and what's going on. So,
So I'm looking forward to this. This is always fun for me, and I love being here with you. And looking forward to this year. So, 2024, man.
Hey, if this is your first time joining us, my name is Eric Whitley. I am the Director of Industrial Transformation for L2L. Along with my co-host, Phil Anderson, who is here. This podcast is brought to you by L2L, which is a connected workforce platform. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today as we get into it. But welcome to the podcast. And we talk about manufacturing 4.0, industrial transformation. We talk a little bit of lean manufacturing. And then also we get into a little bit of...
Yeah, we throw in a little fishing.
We do throw in a little fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a passion of both of ours.
Yeah. And,
we can't help but talk about it, right? Yeah. It's almost like it has to be part of it, because otherwise it's going to get interjected at some point.
At some point. Right? Might, it's like a good lawyer will introduce the subject before the, so the jury can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are going to talk about fishing here. Yeah,
it's coming out. Yeah. So just plan on it.
That's exactly what it is. Speaking of that, you were telling me you've actually got out in the cold, done a little fishing.
Yeah, I was out on New Year's Day. It was a little bit cold, but it warmed up. You know, if you get a day in the mid 30s, lower 40s, money.
Yeah,
you're gonna be just fine. And there was nobody on the water.
Really?
Nobody.
Really?
It was the only ones on the water. And it might have been the fact that, okay, it's a new year and everybody's hungover.
And everybody's a wimp like me. They don't want to get out in the cold.
Well, the other thing, too, is in Idaho, they sell their licenses by calendar year.
Right.
So unless somebody went out and bought their license on January 1 to go, they probably didn't have one.
Yeah.
So,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Utah does 365. So you buy your license in March, it's good till next March, right? But not in Idaho.
Right.
So,
it's January 1st January to 1st. December 31st.
Yep. That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
So that might have contributed to it, but there was, nobody on the water. Great day. Caught a lot of fish, caught some nice fish. It was a great start to 2024.
That's awesome.
And now this is making it an even better start.
Right.
That we're back into this and coming in and being together and enjoying this. So
yeah, I should have hit the record button, because we actually talked for about 45 minutes before we actually hit the record button there.
Yeah.
That's good. We got out last week. Had the week off last week, and did some elk hunting.
Oh, did you really? Where'd you go?
Yeah. Well, you know, my brother's going through some health issues.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been extremely nice about donating some hunts.
That's great.
For him, you know? Yeah. And so we went out west on a cow elk hunt.
Oh.
And so, you know, we talk about me being a wimp for the cold, but for some reason it wasn't, you know, it wasn't too bad.
Well, it's because your adrenaline.
That's right.
You get a little adrenaline pump going.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot.
So that was awesome to be able to spend some time with my brother, you know, and, we've done that a lot in our lives. I was talking to him. We were sitting on some haystacks waiting for some elk to walk into a field. And I said, how much of our life have we spent sitting here not talking to each other, just waiting for an animal to do something? You know, we've spent a lot of hours just sitting there looking out into an open field or into an open lake or whatever, so that was really great to get to spend.
Did you end up seeing anything? Did you get anything?
We didn't get, we got a deer,
but
didn't get an elk. But, we still got a few more days to do that.
Oh, so, that's great. Know, yeah, get out and enjoy. Yeah. Man, cherish those moments because those are memories. Yeah, they're memories fleeting. You'll never forget.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Hey, let's talk a little bit about 2024, shall we, and what we got coming on in 2024. We got some really cool stuff is going to happen this year. I'm excited. Matter of fact, I tried to write it all down here on my little board, and I can't get it all written down. So we're just going to have to introduce it as the year kind of shows up, you know. Again, welcome to season two of the Manufacturing Stream podcast. I mean, we're excited. We did about 22 episodes in 2023, and hopefully we'll get that many in 2024. A few things coming up to talk about. In Randleman, North Carolina, so if you're in the North Carolina area, coming up at the end of January is we have what's called a Connected Worker Forum, where we're going to do a plant tour at Dart Container. In Randleman, North Carolina. Larry McReynolds is going to be there.
Oh, right.
Larry's coming in. So if you're going to get it, you're going to be able to meet Larry McReynolds, do a plant tour with Dart, talk a little bit about connected workforce and that technology that's happening. So go to our website at l2l.com and check that out. That'll be awesome if you want to come to that event. You know, we're going to be at the American Manufacturing Summit in Chicago. In March, I think that's March 14th or somewhere around there. And then also, we're doing our Connected Workforce Summit again this year. That's going to be.
Do we have the dates on that yet?
May 14th and 15th, in Salt Lake City.
Good.
Again this year. So that's going to be exciting. So we expect a big deal, you know, bigger than last year. Last year was the first time that we did it in a few years because of COVID. So we're really looking forward to that being a bigger deal this year, and we're working on that. So, you know, a few other things to talk a little bit about coming in 2024. You are going to see, you know, we had Larry at Larry McReynolds, who is, if you don't know Larry McReynolds, he is what's considered America's crew chief, you know, a famous NASCAR crew chief for Dale Earnhardt. We've begun to see a lot of similarities in racing and teamwork and all of that with L2L. And so you're going to see a lot more of that.
Well, the thing that struck me really about some of Larry's comments was the technology they use in the pit that allows them to look at all kinds of data that in the past hasn't been available to them, and how powerful that data really become, right?
Yeah.
And it's totally applicable.
Totally. The correlation.
The manufacturing. Yeah. And it was just very impressive to listen to him talk about the technology changes over the years that have improved the performance, improved the competition.
Yep.
Yeah, just really transformed the sport in a way that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. So
yeah, and so you get better performance, better safety, you know, greater teamwork, all of that, more efficiency, all of that kind of applies. And so we're gonna be talking a lot about that over 2024. It's gonna be something that we're gonna do as well. The other thing that is emerging that we're gonna talk a lot about in 2024 is, you know, we work with LNS Research. There's an understanding that, you know, there's a revival or needs to be a revival in performance excellence, lean manufacturing, operational excellence, and that the digital platforms like L2L are the catalyst to revive an interest in lean manufacturing and lean manufacturing techniques and continuous improvement and doing that through the digital format.
Well, so, in the past, I mean, you really didn't see that excitement because you didn't know whether to trust the data.
Right.
And what we're seeing with L2L is people can trust the data that they're getting, and they're making better decisions. And because they're making better decisions, their performance is improving, and it overall creates a culture of continuous improvement and morale boosting. I mean, people are excited to go to work because it takes the guesswork out of a lot of stuff and hands you the answer. It makes it just so much nicer to go to work and know that, hey, I'm going to use this tool in my bag and I'm going to make a difference today.
Right. Yeah, I did a video shoot here a couple of weeks ago at a plant in Kentucky, one of the dark container plants. And we interviewed some folks from the shop floor, and that is exactly what they said in this interview. And so we'll be putting that video out here, I would imagine, here in the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks. But that's exactly what they say. You know, the managers and stuff will talk about how it helps with improvement, how it helps with metrics and stuff like that. But the folks on the shop floor are saying, gosh, I love being able to come in and see exactly what's happening, what exactly happened on the last shift, you know, what my information is, how to go get the information. That's exactly what they love.
Yeah. And it's a huge morale booster. It's what keeps your turnover low.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to go into another company and they're not where this one was.
Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, your turnover is better. Your morale is better. People go home feeling like, hey, I accomplished something today. Right.
They can see it.
And that's the people that matter. Those are the guys that build the product that you ship that makes you money.
Yeah.
Keep them happy. You know,
I think it rolls perfectly into kind of the topic I wanted to talk about today. You know, one of the new things that we've kind of are realizing in manufacturing, and we call it the data sandwich. Maybe that'll be the title to this podcast.
Between two pieces of rye and smothered in gravy.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But if you think about your systems with inside of a manufacturing plant, you have what we refer to as kind of the static IT systems, right? So you have your ERPs and your MES systems and your quality management systems and maybe even some of your learning management systems. These are all pretty much static systems. They don't necessarily, they're not interactive with the folks on the shop floor. I like to think of it, back to our NASCAR analogy, is that they're kind of the chassis of the manufacturing process.
Sure.
They're pretty rigid. There's not a lot of change in them. You don't get to change them on the fly, right? If you're going to make a change in one of those things, it's very difficult to do, and it's
time consuming. Doesn't happen overnight, right?
So that's kind of the chassis of the race car, if you will. Then if you look at this bottom level data, think about the data that we're taking from machines, from your PLCs, from SCADA systems that we have. It's just basic data, but it's a ton of it.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's constantly changing. I kind of refer to that as the drivetrain, right? That's the tires and the engines and the transmission and all of that. You're getting data input from all of that on a race car. And in a manufacturing plant, that data is coming into systems.
Yeah.
But what we know is that the middle part of this, that upper level IT systems, that lower level SCADA system data, PLC data, the operator or the driver, if you will, doesn't really interact with that data a lot.
They don't intersect. They just don't intersect at the operator level. And so if the operator's wanting to find out inventory levels or sales for last week, you know, that's one layer.
Right.
But then to go get relevant machine layer data, that's a different layer that he's then got to go access. And it's because they don't intersect, because there's no middle area there, it often never happens. And so that's the gap that we're looking to fill.
That's where the connected workforce platform comes in, right?
Yes.
The other side of this is that there's also a third set of data here that I think a lot of people aren't understanding. That third set of data is, all right, when the machine went down, or when we had a quality defect, or we had a safety incident, when did it happen? Where did it happen? Who responded to it? How long did it take? What spare parts did we use? All of that data is somewhere else.
Yeah.
And in most cases in manufacturing, historically, it's been on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Or not at all.
Or not.
Right?
Yeah.
And so what we're seeing is that a connected workforce platform captures all of that data.
It's in an engineer's binder that's going to retire in four months.
Right.
And he's the only guy, it's tribal knowledge, and he's taking it with him, and it's gone forever.
And so what we're noticing is that this new technology of the connected workforce platform captures that data and then integrates it with that top level IT data, that bottom level SCADA data or the machine data. Yeah. It presents it to the operator with their data that they're inputting every day. Yes. What am I doing every day? And presents a holistic look at what's happening in the plant.
Or even in a downtime situation, what did the operators do? What did they go do?
Right.
You know, was right. I, okay, yeah, the machine went down. I twiddled my thumbs. I don't know. What did they do?
Right. What was the reaction to that? Right. Yeah. And how did they react?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're seeing. That's what we're calling the data sandwich, is that you have that upper level, you have that lower level data, and then now you have that middle piece of data from the operator, or in this case, if I'm using my NASCAR analogy, you have the chassis driver. That's pretty rigid. You have the drivetrain data that's coming in, and now you need data from the driver.
Yep.
What's the feedback from the driver of the car that's giving you the feedback of what does it feel like? Yeah. What's it doing? You know,
because that's all the guy hitting the gas.
Right. Right.
You know, hitting the brakes, hitting the gas, and the response.
And you have to have that information in order to make adjustments as the day goes along with inside of your manufacturing plant. And so that really is important and kind of what we're seeing.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And I think bringing those together in a connected worker platform, that's really what we call, that's true connected worker.
Yes.
That's true connected worker. That's not silos of data or piles of files. That is true connected worker, has access to all the information, relevant information that they need to do the best job that they can do that day. And that information is vital. It's missing across the board in a lot of companies. Nobody's got it. This is so unique. And we're excited about it. We're excited to talk about it. We're excited to get ideas from all of our audience out there of, you know, how are you guys seeing this? And what ways, what tools would be better to have in your tool belt to access that data and make better decisions?
And I think the one misconception that I've seen over the years, this is really the difficult part of this whole space and this whole thought process, is that people are saying, my operators have access to the information. When you say that, what you're talking about is that they have to go to the kiosk, they have to log in, they have to have access to the G drive, they have to be able to know what folder to go find the document in the G drive, if it's even there, and if it's even up to date. That's not the connected worker.
No,
right?
No.
Having access to, you know,
just because they can log into a computer,
right?
It doesn't mean they have access to the data in that moment. I mean,
in the moment that they need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the true connected worker platform presents the data to them as they need it on their mobile device.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about a quality issue, right? Let's say you have a quality issue and you go in, the operator goes in and says, I've just created a piece of scrap. Here's the piece of scrap that I actually have created.
Yeah.
What is the defect? The system then will begin to launch to that person the documents, the troubleshooting, the problem solving documentation that they need to start down the road.
Yeah.
And then it also then allows the rest of the organization to manage that event. Do we need to turn this into a root cause problem solving? Yeah. Do we need to create it into an 8D? What do we need to do with this event when it happens?
Well, and then the ability to notify the right people and say, hey, this just happened. Here's the information I got back. One of the pieces of information is notify the quality manager immediately. You know, okay, I'll do that. And now the quality manager gets a notification. This just took place or this just happened.
And can react to the situation.
Yeah.
And then we capture that data so that we can see the historical information on how often has this happened, how many times has this happened. And it's all capturing that in real time, right?
Yeah. You know, up until, I've said this before, it may have been in an earlier podcast, but I remember when I was on the ERP implementation team at Autoliv, and I was over the shop floor control execution portion. And so scrap was one of my areas. When we have a piece of scrap, what's the transaction that we got to do to scrap it? What reason codes are we using to capture the scrap so that we can then later do some analysis on scrap by reason code? Well, 15 years later, the top five reason codes for scrap are still
the same.
The top five issues for scrap.
Right.
So have we solved anything? Right. No, we haven't. We haven't because we haven't used the data to now go focus on root cause and eliminate that from happening. Because what really ought to happen is my top five goes away and a new top five emerges. And then we work on that top five and a new top five emerges.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's really what you should be seeing in a continuous improvement environment. But it's not what we saw until we were able to start putting that data in a relevant format. Then they could start to focus on and remove and eliminate those. So interesting. That's just an interesting story to me because I thought, I wonder if... And so I run this report because I had the ability at the top layer to look at the scrap data in the ERP system and see the reason codes. And lo and behold, same top five reason codes.
Always. Yeah, back to the old theory of constraints, right?
Yeah.
You should be able to look at that tall pole or the number one thing on your Pareto chart and eliminate it. And then number four becomes number five, right? Or number two becomes the tall pole because you eliminated it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that is the process of improvement.
Yeah,
right?
If you're continually plagued by the same tall pole,
right?
What are you? You're really not accomplishing the end goal here.
And this is where the organization, from a data standpoint, that if you always have that data available, now not only do the operators can they see that same information, but now the engineers can see that same information. And now the design engineers can see that same information. So if you're in a situation where you're constantly looking at the tall pole and the folks on the shop floor from an operator standpoint or from an operation standpoint can't solve the problem, and the folks in the engineering department at the plant, you know, the mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, those guys can't solve the problem.
Then you call Phil.
That's right. But now the design engineers can look at how do I design this out of the product so that I continue to have it, right?
Because, for sure. I mean, part of the problem may completely be the design.
Right.
Right. We've got a bad design.
Right.
Right. And unless you know that, you're going to continue to design the same bad product in the next revision,
Yeah, right.
And so
you think it's the way to do it. Because there's a disconnect between the data that's on the shop floor and the data that the folks in the design organization are seeing, right?
Yeah.
So that's when we say connected worker, connected workforce. We mean all workers.
Not
just the operator, but all workers within the organization. A lot of our clients will call L2L their single source of truth.
Yes.
So everybody can look at it. It's the scorekeeper that everybody sees it, that all that top level, that bottom level data all rolls in, and that middle data now, the connected worker data, all rolls into a single system. So everybody is playing off the same sheet of music.
We used to joke about ERP, that Excel is really the ERP system, right? Of everybody.
Right.
And I would say 90% of our listeners, they're all nodding their heads going, that's true. Because everybody had their own Excel files, Excel spreadsheets that they tracked, that they monitored, that they built charts and Paretos from. And nobody sees it but them. It's a siloed, locked off piece of information, tribal knowledge that's going to go with that individual.
Yep.
And the sooner you break that wall down and get everybody using leading to lean, capturing the data in the right place so that now everybody sees that relevant data, the more success you're going to have, the quicker you're going to have it. Yeah. Excel's great for what it was built to do.
Yeah.
It is not an ERP system.
No,
I'm sorry to say.
And it's not a continuous improvement
system. It's
not a connected worker
system. No.
No.
It is not. I mean, it's got its place and it's a great tool, but it's not the place where you want to bring an entire workforce together on the same page.
Yeah, right. Right. No, good discussion, man. I'm looking forward to this year to talking more about that stuff. We got some really cool stuff coming out this year and helping people accelerate their performance out on the shop floor, right? Because that's really what people want, is they want to be able to get better faster.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, great to have you back, and great to be back in the studio and doing our thing. I'm looking forward to this year, looking forward to meeting and talking to some new folks. We're going to have some great guests on the podcast this year, talking about these, you know, these ever-changing topics in manufacturing. And hey, if you guys want to hear us talk about a topic, please go in, like, and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're using. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you want to hear about, and we'd be glad to bring that up and talk about it. And if you're an expert in your field in manufacturing, get a hold of me. We'd love to have you on the podcast and talk about those topics.
Yeah, and if any of you out there, or if you want us to come out and visit and see what you got, see your plan, I'm not afraid of a plane.
Yeah, so that's exactly right.
I'm happy to hop on a plane and come out and check out what you got and meet you guys personally, because, you know, there's a lot of power in connection, and not only system connection, but people connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, yeah, let us know how we can help. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Hey, everybody, make sure you go follow us on LinkedIn. You can find me at Eric Whitley on LinkedIn. You can find Phil at Phil Anderson. Is that a S-O-N?
S-O-N. S-O-N.
Phil Anderson, yep. S-O-N. Also, go follow L2L on LinkedIn and our social media platforms. We would love to hear from you, and we really want to get this year to get into more of a conversation with our listeners. More than we did last year. You know, last year was our first year, and we're learning and doing some new stuff. We're going to do some really cool new stuff this year and look forward to doing all of that.
So, yeah.
Hey, everybody, the Manufacturing Stream podcast is brought to you by L2L, as usual, the connected workforce platform that helps your company manufacture better. And that's really what we want to do, is kind of get you to get better and get better faster.
Continuously improve.
Continuously improve. That has not gone away, has it?
Has never gone away.
Yeah, and will not ever go away.
No,
it's just changing the way we do it, and we're going to talk a lot about that this year. So,
yep.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you being
good
here.
Good to be here. Great to see you. Looking forward to the year. And interacting with our subscribers and listeners.
Yep. So. Right on. Okay, right. Until next time, everybody, this has been the Manufacturing Stream Podcast. I'm Eric Whitley. This is
Phil Anderson.
Phil Anderson, and we'll see you guys out on the water somewhere.
Yeah.
If you see us, come up to the end of that. All right. Talk to you guys later. And